listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
On an opening day, Friday, the Indians taking on the Twins today. But we're talking football here, too. That's what we do on this show. We can do it all. We can multitask. And we want to also tell you, shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. 216-578-0850. Vic Carucci with Michael Regei, who is sitting in for Nathan Segura today. Let us go to Cleveland and say hello to Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, man. What do you got?
Well, you know, I hear that all these quarterbacks in the draft are pretty similar. They have different styles, but nobody's just wowing anybody. So I got a couple things I think that maybe should happen with the first two picks here. I think they should take Sammy Watkins with the first pick because – he's going to serve two purposes. One, a good receiver, and number two, insurance policy in case Josh Gordon happens to have a misstep. And number two, I heard an interview with David Carr on one of the stations. He said he would be willing to mentor his brother, sign for less and mentor his brother to get his brother, you know, set for the NFL. So I can't see how it would be a bad thing to perhaps draft Derek Carr, even if we had to move up, and sign his brother.
That's interesting. Bring both Carr guys in, huh? Draft one at four and bring brother David back in.
Yeah, you know, his brother, the caller is making a good point, a great point about what David Carr has meant to his brother, I think, on multiple fronts. He's certainly young. Derek looks up to him as a source of, obviously, guidance, information, as much as anything, a cautionary tale. I mean, it went very badly for David, and I say badly somewhat loosely. He comes in as a top overall pick and managed to carve out a pretty long career as a backup. So he's made a living in this league, not as the star that he was expected to be, but as a backup quarterback. But I think Derek has benefited from the mistakes his brother made. And again, he's an intelligent kid, and so is David. I think they share a lot of good insights, and the older brother has too, about, you know, ways that his younger brother can excel. I also know, you know, he's gotten some other good coaching from other quarterbacks or other quarterback gurus that are out there and available. Sean in Medina wants to talk with us. Hello, Sean.
How are you going, fellas?
Hi, Sean.
Happy Friday.
Yep, you too.
I just listening to Mary Kay and talking about the rumors that Derek Carr, you know, it could be taking it for, just completely depressed me. I was watching Mel and Todd's special last night, and they had him as a late first round, you know, is somebody that wasn't even the, you know, at the top. And I think if we're going to take a quarterback at four, we need to take the top guy, Teddy Bridgewater, you know.
But there's really not a consensus, though. That's what I was mentioning a few minutes ago, right? You don't have Andrew Luck in this. You don't even have Robert Griffin III. This is more like the draft I keep referencing in 2011 when, you know, Gabbard and Locker and Ponder went from 8 to 12 and everybody was blown away. No consensus, and that troubles me.
Yeah, it's troubling to not have the consensus. It doesn't necessarily mean, though, that they won't have the impact. I mean, we want, for our sake of comfort, we want to feel comfortable, I think, when you say you look at a guy and he's it. He's got everything you want in the player, and you're seeing fewer of those flaws that bother you. You always see flaws, but fewer that bother you. And I just think that it's the worst thing. It's the best thing that happened for the respective teams that got some of these players, especially the Colts with Andrew Luck and the Seahawks with a third-rounder by the name of Russell Wilson. And I think things will probably work out eventually better with Robert Griffin III in Washington. But that all said, that was an extraordinary 2012 draft, that the comparisons with that are extremely unfair. And I think there's been a misguided notion on the part of some observers in this game, of this game, who say that's proof that's what you get out of the college ranks. every year. It isn't.
No, it isn't what you get every year.
And this isn't one of those years. And I don't know if next year is going to be one of those years while that's getting hyped up now. There was a lot of hype about the quarterbacks coming out and coming into this this past season. You heard Taj Boyd's name mentioned a lot, and Teddy Bridgewater, and you heard people talk about all these players who could be so dominant for their respective teams. Maybe A.J. McCarron got a lot of love before going into the season, and you know, I'm probably leaving out some other names. But
Brett Hundley, by the way, is a guy that I like the best, Vic. That was my guy, Brett Hundley.
And the injury decided
to go back to UCLA.
Guys either through injury or deciding to return to school changed the crop, and all of a sudden the conversation changed dramatically. And then it was like, is this such a special quarterback crop? And and then we hear like a Mel Kiper get on yesterday and say, look, if a guy like Manziel were to miss the Browns, or if they were to miss picking him at four, you know, you could see the nosedive to the bottom of the draft. You could see Teddy Bridgewater, if he's not picked in the first 10, nosediving. So if they get, you know, the last point of demarcation, I think, is Minnesota at eight, where you're attaching quarterback need. So people see this nosedive experience, but it reminds folks, it certainly reminds me, and Kiper brought this up yesterday, a whole lot of the Aaron Rodgers draft, of that kind of draft, where I just thought of it as watching him stew and wait and then eventually end up with Green Bay. And we know the rest of the story. Alex Smith being that top pick that year,
having a nice career, but not a great career.
So Geno Smith last year. Let's talk with, is it Doug in Garrettsville? Hey, Doug.
Hey, Vic. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Hey, I've been really wanting to ask you, let's say the draft is all said and done, and the Browns end up with Jake Matthews, Derek Carr, and the best receiver on the board at 35. How are you guys going to feel if that's what we end up with? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I wouldn't hate that at all, because then you've gotten the positions that you need covered. Matthews is a need and a half. And if you could tell me in that scenario that I ended up with a quarterback and I've addressed key positions, I'm not hating that.
First thought, neither would I, Vic, because a pretty strong chance Jake Matthews is going to be a perennial All-Pro. Then you develop the quarterback, and we know it is a draft that is replete with a lot of should-be productive wideouts.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, we're going to have a conversation with a quarterback, okay? We're going to go quarterback, and we're going to go quarterback in a little bit of a different direction. Some of the guys from the smaller schools, so Keith Winning of Ball State in Indiana is going to join us at the top of the hour. We're already at the top of the hour, in just a few minutes from now, on this Football Friday edition of CBD. Vic and Reg with you on ESPN 850 WKNR.